everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chat with Coach Kat. Today's episode is a part of the Awesome Entrepreneurs Guest Special Edition. We will be talking all about the entrepreneurial journey, the highs, the lows, the path, the experiences, the lessons, and so much more. I'm excited to get to share with you the wisdom these great souls have acquired over the years. So without further ado, allow me to introduce you to today's guest, Kai Vidal. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself, your expertise, where you're coming from, and then we'll dive into more questions.
Thanks, Kat. I really appreciate that. Beautiful introduction too. My name's Kai Vidal. I'm a naturopathic physician. I've been in the industry for 2 decades now. So yes, it's a bit of a milestone and very, very excited. There's new pathways. Talking about the highs and lows, over the last few years, everyone has been affected somewhat by COVID. I'm in Australia at the moment. I'm Australian born, but we quite often travel for various work purposes. So being back in Australia, I wasn't actually allowed to work as a naturopath. It wasn't considered an essential worker. Yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. Wow. So, you know, and then the industries had to then apply to be able to work online, and there was a lot of angst. I was about to open a new clinic. Lucky I did not, because it would have got, I would have had bricks and mortar. Yeah, no traffic. So after COVID, and I'm a mother as well with children, so I've decided that online is the next pivot. And I fortunately got to spend a lot of time doing a lot of research, but it wasn't of particularly new matter. It was about integrating all different aspects of health to come in together. So there's going to be a new course which is being uploaded as we're speaking, which is exciting. Now, it's all based online. What I love about this is that it actually gives me more time to dive in deeper with each person as well. So now, instead of focusing on naturopathy, nutrition, and fun fitness for people, it's much broader range. So there's 12 pillars. Now, the 12 pillars, it encompasses your naturopathy, which is naturopathic principles, your nutrition, and I do fun fitness. So it's a little bit different from advising people that they need to do a certain amount of kilometres or having to go to the gym. What I do, if someone loves dancing, that's fitness. So what we're doing is really getting to the core of each individual person, digging really deep, finding your passions and building this beautiful lifestyle around what you love, what drives you, what lights you up every day. So there's the first pillar. The second pillar, we come into mentoring. So with the mentoring, that includes motivation, some support, going in really, really deep and what has been holding everyone back. See, everyone will have some formed foundations that they've usually got from parents or generations or school, and there's an idea in there that isn't actually congruent with moving forward. So we're breaking down barriers and going into mindset, which is then the third pillar. So then we go into a lot of breath work, relaxation principles. We all live busy, hectic lives these days. So it's really important to get people back to the foundations. So there's so much more that encompasses, and it's about involving, it sounds like a lot, but it's actually very easy and they all intertwine perfectly. So going through the pillars with each person, designing their ideal average day, and then moving forward with that. So integrating the nutrition, the motivation and coaching, the mentorship, and then the mindfulness as well. So big steps for humanity here.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful. And I really love the fact what you had just mentioned there, that you go based on the person's, you know, passions, because that's one of the things, you know, for me, I've been an athlete. I, you know, played professional volleyball, and then I injured my knee and I wasn't able to do that. And it was this whole, like, even like 20 years ago, you need to go to the gym, you need to go to the gym. And that is honestly something I could never settle into. And the other thing that I was very passionate about was dancing. And I was going 3-4 hours salsa dancing, which is, you know, equal to going to the gym for 4 hours or more, because it's so intense. And I like that. I really love, you know, a more natural approach to, you know, fitness and, you know, transformation. And I just want to, you know, we talked a little bit before starting the recording about, you know, what had happened, like, you know, with you and with Australia and things that, you know, how you couldn't like really work. And like you say, you're a mom and you need to provide and all of that. How did you overcome these challenges, and what kind of mindset did you have to adopt in order to, you know, make a success given the challenges?
Great question. I love that. The mindset that I've had various challenges through life, like even going back to my early years, I was paying my own public high school fees as a teenager. So going back to all these years ago, we're almost talking 30 years now, I've had the mindset that I will make it happen. I take responsibility. It doesn't matter what's happening in and around me, I'm taking responsibility. So taking responsibility for the outcome that I want to achieve. It's irrelevant to the situations or what I can't control. I'm going to take control. And first it was a shock, like for all of us, when all these COVID restrictions are like, what's happening? You know, a lot of people I spoke to felt like the human rights were being taken away. However, I was in the mindset of, yes, it can feel that in that manner. However, to even keep ourselves safe, it's quite a logical step. It was harsh. However, especially being a naturopath, like if I had a bricks and mortar and people were coming in, I would have been sick for 5 years. And then if I got sick, my family would have got sick, my husband would have got sick, my daughter, and that we would have passed it on to all these people. So in saying that it felt harsh, it is also sometimes necessary to see the big picture again. Now, moving forward, what then I decided is, okay, what can I do? Instead of focusing on what we can't do, I always do the switch, what can I do? So in that time, I thought, I'm going to start writing my book. So the book's near completion. The next challenge I had is that I became a school teacher, because the kids were homeschooled in Australia. So I went from starting to write a book to, oh, I'm now a teacher. So my time then, and I actually really loved the homeschool. I got to spend quality time, and I did a lot of self-reflection too. So in this time, this is where I've come up with some of my best ideas ever. I was spending a lot of time in nature. Like, fortunately, we were allowed to go 5 kilometres from our house for exercise. So I was doing a lot of exercise. You're allowed out. In the worst restrictions, it was an hour a day. And I was, fortunately, I had mountains nearby and a beautiful beach. So I was walking up and down the beach. And at the end, I would sit as close to the house as possible, but as far away as possible. And there was a nice little lookout just with a sandy cliff. And I was doing a lot of meditations then too. Now, this is where I've come up with the best ideas. And this is when I was thinking, no, I'm going to integrate this. And I was doing a lot of reflection over the work I've done over years, because I've had my own clinic. I've worked in corporate as well, like collaborating on big picture ideas. and thinking, how can I bring this all in together? How can I make the program really whole for people? So, and then also what I wanted to do is make it inclusive, because it seems a bit unfair that people that spend a lot of time with me, they get the best, obviously. And I can't spread myself too thin. There's, you know, 10 billion people in the world. So how can I make everything accessible? So that's when I thought, I'll do the course for the people that really need that motivation and the support in the community. And then there's going to be a book, which will be set, you know, it won't be the exact same, but it will have the foundations and the pillars in there for people as well. So, and in talking about worldviews, is bringing, how can I make an impact on the world? I can make an impact with you and I quite easily, and we can work together, and there's an impact on a personal level, but how can we make this a world impact? Now, bringing all the principles to the world is quite a large feat, and it's a lifetime of work, which I'm passionate about. So my idea is to change the way that world eats and produces and consumes food. There's a lot of wastage in certain areas. There's lack in, you know, a lot of the developing countries as well. So how can we tackle all these big world issues? And once I've put the course and the book together, that's sort of like light bulb moment. I'm like, this is perfect. So, you know, it's then for the people that want to make a difference as well, then we can go into, how can we make a personal difference? How can we have good water sources for ourselves? How can we start collecting water? How can we do little things like growing some herbs at home, you know, growing some basic produce, like some veggies that we use every day. Like, there's a lot of options available to us all now. So it's making these little steps along the way to not only become whole within ourselves, but how can we positively impact our families, our communities, you know, then go out to a state, a country, and then to other countries that are in need. So it's encompassing all the bits. So in COVID, to sum that up, it was a beautiful time to have a really deep inner reflection and come up with the big pictures, because we're always going. Right. And we're sort of, you know, I'm always sort of 10 steps ahead. Most people are, you know, anywhere between 2 and 5. I'm usually 10 steps ahead. It allowed me to think about 100 steps in front and thought, how can we make big picture?
Yeah, I love that. And why do you think, and I'm curious, because I know we just said that COVID kind of had us all slow down, right? And evaluate, why do you think you were able during that period of time to come up with your best ideas?
It was honestly the time exercising and doing out. So I was out in nature and there was no noise around me. So there was no noise. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't on the phone. I wasn't talking to everyone as frequently. I wasn't, you know, at work juggling school pickups and drop-offs. I wasn't running around like a crazy person, basically, like we all do in an average day. So it was really that slowing down, spending time in nature, and the meditation work I was doing, and just thinking big picture. Like, it just all naturally came through for me. And I really enjoyed that time. So now, if, you know, it gets to the end of the month and we've had really crazy busy times, and we love doing that as well. But when it gets to the end of the month, we, before the last weekend, we say, okay, how much time, it's not do we need to, it's how much time do we need to spend in nature with ourselves, slowing down and doing the reflection work again. So it's implementing small aspects back into our daily lives again.
Yeah, beautifully said. And, you know, also, I think with COVID, we were able to understand, especially because where I live, you know, we're so like not that close together, but I didn't have the space that you were talking about. And it also made me think, oh my gosh, we rely so much on, you know, shopping at the supermarket. What if that were to close down? You know, things yeah. like growing your own herbs and then having your own, you know, vegetable garden and things like that are just like super powerful, right? Not only yes. from us, you know, being more grounded and, you know, being physically active and doing the work to plant it, but also eating better and being more conscious of like what we're doing and putting into our bodies. I'm curious to find out what got you started as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so my journey actually started with naturopathy, and great question, I love that too. So I mentioned earlier I was paying for my own public high school. So I studied during the day, went to school like a normal child, teenager. I worked a few hours, like 3 to 4 hours most days of the week, just to, you know, I was paying for food myself. Back then I was paying for bills, I was paying for my school fees, everything, bus fares, everything. And I had some health issues myself. I would dare say it was a lot of stress-based because I had a lot of responsibility for someone of my age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that, I had the asthma, the eczema, thyroiditis. And I didn't have the funds to be seeing specialists that cost thousands of dollars. So I was using the public health system, and they're quite limited. They're quite limited in the tests that they do. So when I was seeing my doctors in Australia, I was getting small results, but it was more of a band-aid. So, you know, I would take Ventolin a lot, and the Ventolin, you know, once you start using it frequently, it started to become less effective. Now, when I was working, I was fortunate that I was given a job at a natural therapy shop. Now, when I was there, yeah, I know. So how life, you know, although I was faced with challenges, I was also given gifts. So working, I was young, I was 17, working in a natural therapy store, I was given the opportunity of remedies being about, and you'd be reading books for customers to find out, and I'd have charts, like I'd go to a chart and say, okay, this is what they've got, this is what they want to do. So I was gathering a lot of information, and what I was finding, I was using oils and natural supplements, and I was getting better results myself. So that was the birth of my love for natural therapies. Now, once I'd finished my high school and then had a full-time job, I had two options, and there was two paths. I could have paid for private health and gone down the medical line, and I was still seeing doctors at this stage, but not getting great results for myself. As I said, it was a band-aid. Or my other option was to invest my money to study further into becoming a natural therapist myself. So I have a degree in, I'm a naturopathic physician. So once I actually opened my clinic before I had finished my degree in areas that I was allowed to. So we're allowed to do weight loss programs and fitness programs. So that's where my journey started. I was young, I was 24. Wow. So, and I'm quite, in reflection, I'm quite proud of that journey that I've taken responsibility. So then from having my own clinic, so I'd achieved my goals of having my own business in my mid-20s. I was then in my early 30s given an opportunity to work in within big organizations. So I then partnered with a company that provided healthy meals to all children in early education settings. So we're partnering with some schools and some daycare centers. And my job there was a naturopathic physician, but I also had the role of business development executive. So it was my job to do public speaking, because when we enrolled, just say, a childcare centre, for example, we had to pitch to the companies that manage the childcare centre. You'd have to speak to the owners, the directors, and get every single parent on board. So, and oh, wow. The company... I worked for was new. They had no advertising budget. None. Zero. So I was actually doing cold calls, knocking on doors. So going back even before Facebook was new back then. So social media wasn't even about. So we had to then cold call contact people, explain our why we did what we did was to infuse healthy eating habits into children and mm-hmm. families in early stages. So I've had a broad range. And in that role, that was an entrepreneur role within myself. Even though I was working with companies and for companies.
It developed you.
Yeah. And that was very, very broad. And then once I had my own family, that's when I really saw the difference that it made with my own daughter, for example, because I, like, for example, I don't have biscuits in the house. It's my thing. Not everyone's the same. I don't have sweets. We have treats here, but it's like a high quality raw chocolate, things like that. And we only have small amounts. But when my daughter was young, she didn't even have a piece of chocolate until she was about 16 months old. So she'd not had a sweet. And we gave her one little square, and she savoured this. It took her about an hour and a half to eat it because she'd never had anything like it. And it was quite rich too. So just switching around what we eat, and she's always had healthy snacks. Now, once everyone was sort of like, oh, Kai, you know, when you have your own family, it's not that easy. And I reluctantly say it actually was just because of my values, the values that I hold around how I want my daughter to eat. So then encompassing the three cores. So I've had clinics, I've worked in big business, and then my own family experience. And then, you know, that's when a lot of respect came in. People said, oh, well, it actually does work. What you're doing is working. Your daughter eats exceptionally healthy. Some of her first sentences were about food and, you know, we'd be driving in the car and she quite often felt car sick. So she'd be asking for banana and blueberries and strawberries and she'd go through the whole list of foods in the car. So you'd be getting out your little containers of snacks and she'd be eating healthy food. An aha moment for my husband, he was at a market without me. He was at a farmer's market and he was standing in the line ready to pay for our organic produce. And my daughter, she was young. She would have been about 18 months old. She was saying, Jean, Jean, and pointing. And the lady behind him said, what's she saying? And he turns around and he looks and he's, aubergine. So, and that's at 18 months. Like most adults don't know what an aubergine is. So, you know, it's just making ourselves aware to new possibilities.
I love it. And you know what? I believe in natural remedies. I didn't until I think I was in my late 20s. I didn't even know about it. Like, not that I didn't know it was an option. I did grow up with, you know, very like healthy eating habits. Back in Romania, we didn't have a lot of processed food. Everything was cooked at home. So it wasn't until I moved to the States that I, you know, kind of saw a different way to eat, so to speak, and a lot of the things that are already packaged and stuff. But when my son was little and I also struggled with anxiety, that's when I started studying all of the things that you're teaching, and I found that it made a profound, you know, impact in my life. And I know several times when my kid would, you know, come home with a cold or a virus or something, and we would use oils on the bottom of his feet, and within 24 hours, like, you know, fever was gone and he was back on his feet, while other kids, you know, struggle for like an entire week to recuperate. So I really do believe in alternative medicine, just because, you know, like you, I've tried it on myself and on my family, and I'm a big proponent for it. I do believe that nature offers us a lot of options, and we should use them and learn to, you know, eat and behave in a more natural, less destructive way towards, you know, Earth. So, you know, at this point where you're at in your business, what would you want to, like, you know, tell our audience, and maybe if they're looking to connect with you, what would you want them to maybe know about you more, or something that you're working on right now that's like you're super passionate about, anything that you want to share, and also how they can find you?
Yeah, so social media is the easiest way, and I have a fairly uncommon name. So Kai Vidal, my Instagram is Magnify Your Potential, and between each word, so it's Magnify _ Your _ Potential. Facebook is Kai Vidal. What I'm super excited about is the course. So that's going to be starting next week. And that's a course that there's no locked in start dates. You can start at any time. So what I find is when people want to start, they're excited, they want to do it now. So I've built that into everything that I do. Over the next few months, there's going to be a lot more podcasts coming out, which is exciting, and a book too. So the book's in production. And I do one-on-one. Some people prefer just that loving contact, and they can contact me directly. So it's really super easy. It's sending me a message, whether it's, and everything's checked. So whether they contact me via Facebook Messenger, or, you know, some people write on my wall, like I get all sorts of weird and strange ways. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting ways, and some people have a specific idea in their head, and we try our best to accommodate that as well. So if they say, no, I just want, you know, I want to check in once a month with you directly for an hour or half an hour, we just make things happen. So that's a big motto. We just make things happen.
I love that, you know, and it's tailoring to people's needs. I really like that approach.
Yeah. And also to, we can work, just say, for an organization. Like I've worked with directors and, you know, entrepreneurs before, and they're like, I love how you guide me through a process. Can you do that with a team? And that can be done. So yeah, there's many so options. Many different. Yeah, there's so many different options. So yeah, as I said, I've worked with even childcare centres, and what we would do is we would send out some information and have like an open afternoon where we can do it online now. See, even when I used to do these, it was in person, and that took a lot of time, effort, and you had to be very geographically located. Mm-hmm. Now what we can do is like a Zoom or a podcast, set up a webinar, and even go through, like, and it's not just, we do a lot of pre-marketing for events as well to get the interest high. And so people understand what the benefit, what's in it for them before they're even attending a webinar. And now within the webinars, we tailor that to the needs of the organization too. So yeah, there's so much big picture. So yeah, the more out there that someone thinks it is, the actually easier it is. And we tailor it. We go through a fast process of finding out what it is that they need and what their audience needs. Sometimes what an organization wants and what and the audience needs are two different things too. So that's where my expertise comes in, and say, right, are you aligned? Is your vision aligned with what your audience actually needs and what they're going to do? And they can all be three different things. So what we do is funnel it together to make it work perfectly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very important, because otherwise, you know, the right people won't hear about it just because it's miscommunicated. I just want to, usually at the end of every episode, I really love asking my guests a question. So I would love to hear your answer. What would you like to be remembered for?
making a positive difference worldwide to how we eat, how we produce, and how we consume food.
I love that. Very straight to the point, right? And those are the most important things, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And I love how you've also noticed the difference with your child. I want to acknowledge you for that as well, because it takes a lot to go against what we've been taught and what we haven't been taught. So what we don't know, we don't know. And you've looked outside for the benefit of your child. So I love parents that do that, and give yourself a big hug.
Thank you.
Acknowledge yourself for being a fabulous mother and making a difference.
And thank you. And I do want to say, it took someone from the outside. I actually became friends with someone who was using those methods for a really long time. And it took me a little while to open up to those ideas, just because we are so ingrained, like it's so ingrained in us that you need to go this route and any other route doesn't work or it's wrong. So, you know, it's just like, people help you open your mind to things. And, you know, just like this podcast and everything that you said and shared with the audience, you know, let all of this just open up your mind to other ways of doing things. And if you're noticing a problem, you know, go back to the main core things, like eating, drinking, and the way you're thinking about yourself, right? The very minimum things, that the ones that make the most impact in every single person's life.
Yeah. And that's why this new pivot for me is really exciting, like bringing it all online. It was scary in the start. Like, how do I do that? Like, now I'm very excited for it. So, you know, I've done the clinic, I've worked with corporates, large, big business, and now it's like, okay, what's the next step? And once that's all nailed, there'll be more steps in future, like fun documentaries, interactive, gamified documentaries and things like that. So there's always something next. So I don't know whether I heard this or read this, but it said, when an elder dies without publishing a book, a whole library is lost at the same time. And that really hit home. Yeah, really hit home, because I'm like, we all have a book within us. All of our journeys are important, and we all have a book within us. So this is a really new, exciting chapters, and it's like, we're given COVID maybe to wake up a little bit. Who knows?
And, you know, speaking of the book, you know, just in the recent past days with, is it Matthew Perry? The guy from Friends that passed away. And, you know, I was just thinking that he published his book last year. And I'm so glad that he did. I actually purchased it because of his struggles and what that's going to teach people. Would he have left without writing that book? I think a lot of people would have been robbed the chance to a feeling that they're understood and that change is possible.
Yeah, exactly. So beautiful. So beautiful. It's sad, but in its way, as you said, beautiful that he's done the book.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a pleasure having you here. Thank you for our audience for listening in. And, you know, just make sure you post your takeaways and, you know, join us for the next episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Love to you.